This is Food Secure Nation with Dr. Phil Knight and Jerry Brisson. Sponsored by Know Better, Do Better, KBDB. Engaging change makers, charting solutions, and driving progress for food security in America. Dr. Phil Knight.
Welcome, everyone, and thanks for listening. In the fight against hunger, most people see the front lines. The local pantry, the food bank warehouse, the volunteers packing boxes. But there's another layer of leadership most Americans never see. Across this country, state associations are quietly helping hundreds of organizations move together, aligning policy, partnerships, and strategy across entire states so that families can be served with dignity and consistency. It's complicated work. It requires navigating relationships with food banks, community partners, state government, and federal programs, all while the need keeps growing and the opportunities keep multiplying. And the people who choose this work don't do it because it's easy. They do it because they care, because they believe in the families that are served, because they're investing their own handful of life into building something that works better for everyone. Today, we're joined by two extraordinary leaders who do this work every day, Mandy Pilaro and Jory Novotny. Mandy is from Feeding Colorado, and Jory leads the Ohio Association of Food Banks. They don't run a pantry. They don't run a single food bank. But they help connect an entire ecosystem so thousands of organizations can move in the same direction. And that's the kind of leadership that rarely gets the spotlight. Today, we're going to shine a light on it. Welcome back, everyone. Thanks for being with us. As promised, Jory Novotny from the Ohio Association of Food Banks and Mandy Pilaro from Feeding Colorado are our guests. Jerry, can you believe it?
You know, first of all, nice to have both of you at the same time. I mean, one of you would be really just over the top exciting, but to have both of you, it's like, how are we going to manage all this energy? I don't know. We're going to do our best, though.
So it is great to have you.
We're excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm super glad to have you both. So, all right, let's start with the story of the work, because I'm sure in kindergarten, when you were asked what you wanted to be when you grow up, you both said you wanted to lead partner state associations in the fight against food insecurity. So, honestly, and Mandy, how about you going first? How did you come into this work?
Sure. Well, actually, funny enough, in kindergarten, I did volunteer with my mom doing Meals on Wheels and delivering those. So I do have that as sort of a core memory. In terms of, I guess, how I came to this work, I think like many of us, by accident. I have always been in policy-oriented work, mostly with nonprofits, either at the national level or state level. I've been here almost 3 years now, and I really wanted to come back to Colorado. I've always lived here, but I work for national organizations doing a lot of policy work in other states. And when the opportunity for this to came up to really invest in my state that's been my lifelong home, I jumped on it. And I think food is an integral part of my life and what makes me whole and is such a part of my family and my community and how we show love and care. So I think having that be a part of my work is so important because this work is hard and having that connection really matters.
Wow, I love that. Jory, how about you? Was it kindergarten?
Yeah, I think I came to this work as an idealist, and certainly in kindergarten, I think my answer would have been that I wanted to grow up and be a writer.
And I ended up getting into this work initially because, like many Great Recession grads with a BA, I found myself wanting to do something impactful. And I imagined, of course, like many, that I'm just going to go and write grants for some nonprofit and make a difference that way. And I happened to do a year of national service through AmeriCorps Vista, and, you know, I wanted to do something that mattered and didn't know a whole lot about food banking, and I happened to serve for a year at the wonderful Akron-Canton Regional Food Bank and really just fell in love with food banking. You know, I had found my faith later on in my life, really admired folks that I met who were really committed to living out their faith through service in their communities. And I remember being really struck with how day in and day out, so many well-meaning, committed, faith-driven people were showing up at pantries, you know, doing often unseen work to nourish people. And that really just stumbled into it. And now I get to honestly do the best job in the whole world, and you can put me up to a lie detector test, and I'll still say it.
Easy to say on the radio, isn't it? Yeah, no, that's good. I mean, so getting back to specifically, then, like, there's a lot of people who are helpers, right? Who end up in a pantry, or they end up, you know, doing direct service. So, how did you get to, okay, I want to do policy work for the whole state. I want to work for all these food banks. How did that twist end up being the place where you decided you could make the most difference, or the opportunity you had to make a difference at all?
I was just going to say, you have two Aquarians on the call. So I think that is a big part of our personality, too. And how we show up in the world of, like, that big picture kind of systems thinking, being able to see these pieces, the gaps, where we can add value, where we can support others in adding value. So I think that's, Jory is one of my dear friends. So I think that is very true about her, is being able to see that big picture. And I think that's really the advantage and what I love about doing this state level work.
Beautifully said. It's been, I'm still learning every single day about more than I don't know than I do. And, you know, when I got exposed to food banking, I also got exposed to how often food bankers are thinking about the bigger picture and the factors that are impacting and influencing, you know, their ability as folks coming to the table with resources for community members facing food budget shortfalls, but also how policies and programs at a macro level and a systems level impact their ability to help their neighbors and impact the level of need that they see, really got super interested early on in how to make a different impact through advancing good policy and talking with policymakers about their role in supporting food secure families.
That's awesome. You know, we've been doing a show for over 10 years now. You know, just this one rebranded recently to Food Secure Nation. And one of the things that is common over this decade of doing the show is seemingly every guest had a personal connection to the issue of hunger and food security. And it's amazing. I mean, from bank presidents to governors to, you know, people that are volunteering in the pantry, everyone, it was them or someone in their family or somebody down the street, somebody they knew. So, to Jory, I'll start with you on this one. What was that moment for you? What moment made the issue of hunger personal so that you wanted to invest your handful of life doing this work?
Oh, my goodness. You know, I did a lot of what some might suggest or call a kind of, you know, white savior complex mission trips growing up. And, you know, and I'll leave that sort of a judgment for another show. But, yeah. You know, as a teenager who was forming my own paradigms about the world and about our country and about how we show up in our communities, witnessing firsthand what just abject poverty existed right here in the wealthiest nation in the world, and being able to be in community with people for a little bit more of an extended period of time to really get to know them, see what was precious to them, what mattered to them, and what a safe roof over their head and a healthy meal meant to them, taught me a lot about the privilege that I had. And, you know, my dad was worked for a long time with Chrysler. He went through almost, you know, a full loss of a 30-year career during the Great Recession when all of our auto manufacturing plants were hit hard. And I remember being very, very aware of how close we were, like so many other families, from going to kind of middle-class stability and falling off the edge. And, you know, I then as I got more familiar with how food banks are involved in supporting every chain of the food supply sector, I really, really became super connected to their ability to drive macro impact. But for me, it started with being in service and community to people facing poverty, looking for a hand up.
Wow, that's great, Jory. Mandy, what about you? What was your moment?
Oh gosh, I think it's sort of hard to really like define it down to one moment, but I would say a significant part is how I grew up. I was not Catholic, but went to Catholic school in Southern Colorado, and I think built into our school, and I had an amazing teacher there who really impacted me, and I think like the focus on servant leadership and thinking about how we show up in the world, what we do matters, and that can look like so many different things. And then just personally in college, my sort of like what Dory just described, my world changed pretty much overnight after I lost my father and was not prepared for some of the logistical financial realities in our family. And had to figure out paying my rent in Boulder, Colorado. And thankfully, this was a while ago. We won't talk about how long, but it was right. Still not. And I put myself through college, put myself through my master's and figured that out on my own and worked full time and went to school at night. And I think, you know, those moments of just feeling like you could give up, I think there were some really significant pieces, and primarily people who cared, who paid attention to really impact my life and what I did in the future. So I think about those people wow. and how much I just wanted to serve my community.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. That's just the first segment, folks. We're back with Mandy Pilaro and Jory Novotny, Jerry Brisson, and myself, Dr. Phil Knight, in just a moment.
You're listening to Food Secure Nation with Dr. Phil Knight and Jerry Brisson, sponsored by Know Better, Do Better.
Welcome back, everyone. Thanks for being with us. Jerry Brisson, Dr. Phil Knight here with you. Mandy Pilaro from Feeding Colorado and Jory Novotny from the Ohio Association of Food Banks both lead what we determined to be partner state associations. That's my job. That's what I do here. But also, in the first segment, Mandy, you mentioned attending Catholic school, and there's a difference. I attended Catholic school, too. I just didn't get to do it for very long.
They needed more than a ruler.
So I just thought I should make that distinguish. There are those who start something and actually get to finish it. But I wasn't in that group. So now, I you know, when we talk about partner state associations, and now that this show is blossoming and going more than just to Michigan and across the Midwest and the entire country, Could you guys break down for us, you know, we've got pantries out in the community, we got food banks, and then we have partner state associations, and then all the way up the food chain is our national organization, Feeding America. So kind of talk to us a little bit about the work of the partner state association and how it fits. Mandy, why don't you start?
Yeah, well, I'll say that certainly I think there's unique pieces to every state and what it looks like. I think what's true generally is as a state association, we really are sort of the statewide convener. Our goal is really to support and improve food insecurity in Colorado through partnership, through advocacy and policy work, and through education. And here in Colorado, we've got 5 Feeding America food banks and then about 1,100 partner agencies in the state of Colorado. We also serve Wyoming and have a food bank there and about close to 200 partner agencies there. So I think our landscape is fairly unique. And then we have those partner agencies for us. That's how we define them, because they're not just food pantries. Their schools, their shelters, universities sometimes, healthcare clinics, that kind of thing. So there are a lot of different partners, but the important piece is that those are the partners that are neighbor-facing, that are part of our community. And so I think we all kind of play our various parts, and sometimes that can be so challenging given like the logistics and operations and funding and just like diverse pieces, because there's certainly, and I think every state, some of these are very small organizations that might be a church that's open one day a week with all volunteers, and then some are more professional organizations, their own nonprofit with staff. And so it's just you have a wide variety of partners that you work with to distribute food to our neighbors in need. And so it can make for a unique work, certainly. And I do love being able to play a role, though, at the state level and kind of to see all of the pieces. And then here in Colorado, we also work with a lot of organizations that are outside of the Feeding Colorado network, who might not be partner agencies or other advocacy organizations. So it's a pretty wide-ranging hunger relief system.
And just before we get to Jory, when you think about, you know, being that convener and working with people who are both inside and outside of a network, right, the Feeding Colorado network, because there's other adjacent organizations who are wanting similar things or who need to be talked about similar things, tell us a little bit about how the state association turns those conversations into productive ones.
Yeah, I'll say my favorite saying is it's not either or, it's both ends. And I think recognizing that you have a part to play in direct service and you never really lose sight of the work and its impact, I think. But you also can have a more narrow view. So I think it is helpful to have perspectives of other organizations, other entities that might be impacted differently. So I would say the productive piece is by showing up and listening and also being ready to have certainly outcomes. I'm very outcome oriented. And but I think just recognizing that we all have a part to play. And I think that's really, you know, in prior years and kind of before my time here, it could be really challenging just because it's like, okay, we know food insecurity is increasing, like the charitable food system and that role. Is it actually working? If it's not changing numbers, well, it's actually like both ends. So we both need to feed people now, and then we also need to look at why that keeps happening, our role in supporting it, and that's why I love being a direct service like organization and tied to that, because policy is always linked to real, tangible stories, people, impact. So I think it just takes all of us, I guess, would be the piece that I'd say.
So showing up and listening, getting more broader perspectives and real life stuff that not any one organization might have, and using those perspectives to drive better understanding and therefore better outcomes.
Well said, Jerry.
Okay. Hey, I'm just repeating after you, so congratulations. You're brilliant. Okay, Jory, add to that.
She is brilliant. I'm very lucky to do to do this work with her and our colleagues and you, Phil. And, you know, it goes to say a lot for Jerry and Phil's character that I have accepted an invitation to a formerly Michigan-hosted podcast, you know, that state up north. But, you know, you've been gracious for those of us who don't have as many years under our belt in the work and so grateful to have some time to talk about this. Yeah, we, so I have food banks who have been around for five decades, who started off basically at the size of what an everyday food pantry is now. I joke, and you probably don't love this, Jerry, considering your name, but we have gerrymandered districts in our among our food bank regions, just like you might see in the world of politics, because we've evolved over five decades into truly what is a network of logistically savvy entities who decided, in our case here in Ohio, back in the late 80s, hey, you know what? Like, our communities really need us, and they need us to do our work more efficiently, more effectively. They need us to be solutions-oriented. We need to figure out how to make this work possible and sustainable across every community in Ohio, not just in the places where there happen to be food manufacturers or retailers with donations to share, or there happen to be philanthropists or people of wealth who have resources to share. We need to be able to serve every community. So let's come together, like many other industries, form what is essentially started as a trade association to help figure out how we can, as Mandy said, convene ourselves to learn from one another. We don't all have to recreate the wheel, and to seek out resources and efficiencies and policies that can help us carry out our little part of doing good for people in the best way possible. And, you know, I think we are a network that come with solutions for a whole lot of problems. There's the main problem, which is not everyone always has the nourishing food that they need for a whole host of reasons. But there's also food that exists that isn't making its way to tables. There's also a lack of certainty and sustainability long-term about how we're going to produce enough food and the right food over the decades to come, and you name it. So I love being part of a network that can be part of a lot of different solutions, and to do so on truly on the backs of, I mean, just at our 12 food banks here in Ohio, we had 100,000 different volunteers just at our warehouses last year, and there's countless more who are serving at, you know, we got about 2,000 food pantries and another 1,600 meal programs. And to do all of that takes a space to come together and be aligned. And one more thing I'll add is that I think of us as state associations as equalizers. So I mentioned, you know, not every community has the benefit of agriculture or food manufacturing. They don't necessarily have access to R&D product. They might not have a lot of large food retailers with access to share. They might not have a lot of community wealth. So how do we help level the playing field so that families in their communities can have access to food as well?
And I will just say, as someone that ran a big food bank here in Michigan, how much I appreciate the work that you're talking about that state associations do, certainly Dr. Phil and his team, but you can only do so much. And so having a partner state association that's doing the lifting that you're talking about makes a huge difference for food bank leaders and others in the community who are, you know, head down and you know, just marching forward trying to get the day-to-day done. So thank you for that. That's fantastic.
We got to take a quick break, guys. Thank you very much. Mandy Pilaro, Jory Novotny, Jerry Brisson, myself, Dr. Phil Knight. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everyone. Thanks for being with us. I'm Dr. Phil Knight. That's Jerry Brisson sitting. But Jerry, we have as our guest Mandy Pilaro, who leads Feeding Colorado, and Jory Novotny, who leads the Ohio Association of Food Banks. Still holding out for that long name there, Jory, I see. Kind of like Food Bank Council of Michigan. We haven't quite joined the cult yet either, I see. So
that's right.
Yeah. So, all right. So, you know, the question I want to ask both of you is about impact, right? So, you know, seeing things from a statewide level, because our food banks are all working within specific geographical territories. And they have their networks that are all in that territory. And collectively, we can look at it from the statewide and say we have almost, 2,500 different pantries across the state. We have 7 regional food banks here in Michigan. And everybody can tell those stories. But the real story, I think, is when a state association can do something as a convener, as a policy, something that would not have happened had we not been there. And I think that really represents some of the value that we bring to this work and to this mission of creating a food secure nation. So do you have an example, Mandy, I'll start with you, to tell a story about something that Feeding Colorado was able to do that impacted the entire state?
Yeah, I think we have a pretty recent one, actually, during the federal shutdown. I won't lie, you can look at our Colorado budget, and it's not great already. We have a pretty significant deficit. So getting really any state funding for nonprofits, for community-based organizations is really a significant challenge. But I think a result of relationships, of being a stakeholder in a variety of different communities, I think it was really pretty clear how our impact could show up. So during the shutdown, the governor, we were very fortunate to have his support and the support of the Joint Budget Committee in approving emergency funding for our network. That was able to go out really quickly, given kind of our statewide landscape. And each food bank was able to do that kind of in the best way for their own communities. But we were able to work with a variety of state agencies and get funding quickly, which anybody who works in state government knows what a challenge that is, and really did it overnight. And, relationships with food manufacturers and providers, and of course the national organization Feeding America support. So I think that was just a really significant example of how we can jump into action quickly and then also know the gaps. So we could see, areas and communities in more rural parts of Colorado where they cannot take an extra trailer load of food because there's no docking station in that community. So so that's where we would drive mobile markets there and provide support for neighbors that way. Or we as a state association could see communities that had small retailers who we were able to provide direct funding to for neighbors in those communities and partner agencies and food pantries in general, whether they were a partner of ours or not, could go to those retailers who otherwise would close because 1 month without, honestly, SNAP benefits and people purchasing products in their stores and these little teeny tiny retailers in some of our rural parts of the state, they would close. I mean, sometimes their profit, we've talked to them, their profit's a dollar. And these are like longstanding family retailers. And then, the ability to just see this statewide landscape when you're having to act quickly is so important. And so I think we were really able to have a lot of impact and also learn from it. And just like I said earlier, like that both end, we know that there's both like things that we do really well and then things that we don't see. So how can we respond better and differently in the future? And I think just the ability to have such a like kind of bird's eye viewpoint is really helpful and impactful. And then just another piece I'll say is, again, like kind of that statewide convening is we do have a line item a couple years ago for the first time in our state budget for the purchase of Colorado agricultural products or culturally relevant items for both food banks and food pantries to purchase. So, you know, that really came as a process of like convening food banks and food pantries to do that with the state. You know, and I'm really happy to say that we've lost a little bit of funding, but given so many programs have been cut in the state, the fact that we still have that shows our impact both, you know, at the state level and then for those Colorado agricultural partners, whether farms or ranches. That's a personal, like, just passion project for me, I would say, and just supporting those communities that I grew up in. So I think that's two great examples.
And awesome. Not only a good example, but it gave Jory a lot of time to think. So our expectations for Jory are now massive.
So just as a quick follow-up before Jory, you know, rings the bell here, in Michigan, that program of buying directly from state producers and farmers is called MASS here. I'm assuming in Colorado it's called CASS. What's it called in Ohio?
Yeah, ours is called ACP, OFP-ACP, our Ohio Food Program and Agricultural Clearance Program. I can't take credit for the acronym. It's been around since the turn of the century.
So, I like OS. You know, I think that one works. But anyway, Jory.
Ag surplus, our bread and butter.
Yeah, absolutely. Talk to me. Talk to us about something that the Ohio Association of Food Banks could see that no one else could see until you brought it into life.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I'll quickly double down on the agricultural clearance program only because it is truly our bread and butter, and we've been doing it since the late 90s. We are a big ag state. Agriculture is still holding on as our number one industry, and farmers are people who get and stay in their business because they want to feed people, and it's a very difficult business to stay in, and usually they have food that would otherwise go you know, unharvested and mown over in the field that we can pay them pennies on the pound for to bring in and have enjoyed by families facing hunger, which we're very proud of, and we have for, you know, coming up on three decades, been able to secure state resources through our budget to support that program that supplies fresh fruits and vegetables and core items, as well as dairy and protein to families across the state in all 88 counties. But I'll give a couple other examples of places where we've come in and helped. One that, you know, we've long been proud of is something called the Ohio Benefit Bank, which no longer exists, which is a good thing. And I'll tell you the story of that. Back at in the early age of the internet, 2005, 2006, you know, some funders came together and said, look, people are facing greater shortfalls. They're having trouble accessing the various programs available to them to help them stabilize themselves. One of those is the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP. Another is the Earned Income Tax Credit on the tax filing side. We got together with like-minded people, and we launched the Ohio Benefit Bank, which was built on the backs of a software platform. This was well before our state or really any others had any online applications for any programs like health care assistance, energy assistance, food assistance, or free tax filing. So we really used, at its peak, we had 1,200 different community sites across the state that used volunteers and staff to help people navigate an easy-to-use online platform to apply for the benefits and tax credits that could help them stabilize their families. And we ran that program for 12 years. We did the training. We helped place resources across the state in a way that an individual food bank wouldn't have been able to do. And that actually led the state to then go about modernizing its own systems, you know. So now we have online application portals for public benefits. But, you know, there was a gap where what we really did, I feel like, was encourage and inspire the state to go on that path itself. And that's what we really want to see. I think similarly, we worked for 12 years as well with a couple of different gubernatorial administrations here on state-funded summer meals programs, where communities were left out of the traditional models for summer food service programs, you know, the classic, like, we have 1 in 10 kids who are eligible for free or reduced price meals here in Ohio that don't otherwise access them because we had this congregate feeding model where they had to figure out how to get to a central place to get their meals, which was challenging for them. So we really piloted and generated proof of concept that we could do this differently. And now, finally, we actually have that in statute at the federal level with some of the modernized versions of feeding kids in the summer, including non-congregate feeding and summer EBT. And, you know, we take a lot of pride in having set the stage for what that could look like, again, at the state level. So that's the kind of power in innovation that state-level work can do.
Wow, that is amazing. And I am the bearer of bad news because we've just about run out of time, and I can't believe that this slipped away so fast. So thank you both for sharing with us the impact of partner state associations that impact not only the Feeding America Network, but communities statewide across every state. Mandy Pilaro, Jory Novotny, thank you both for being our guest. And guess what? Stay tuned, because they're going to be with us again next week when we talk about a different subject, the six dimensions of food security, when Mandy and Jory are back with us.
Further proof that no good deed goes unpunished.
Absolutely. it's a mantra here.
Thank you.
Jerry and I are back to wrap up this edition of Food Secure Nation in just a moment.
Food Secure Nation is sponsored by Know Better, Do Better. Engaging change makers, charting solutions, and driving progress for food security in America. Once again, here are Dr. Phil Knight and Jerry Brisson.
Jerry, I really enjoyed having Mandy Pilaro and Jory Novotny with us.
You know, they helped really fill in what is a state association, what do they do, and why would anyone want to be part of it? It was so great to listen to them talk about the work and themselves.
And it's, you know, it's complicated, complex, and otherwise it's easy. And they make things of all these different relationships work.
Connecting the dots, connecting the perspectives, bringing them to the table, knowing better so you can do better. I've heard that before.
I've heard about that. Thank God they're sponsoring this show. Hey, that's us. Well, time for a little food for thought. Food security is not one organization. It is an ecosystem. Pantries serve neighborhoods, food banks move food at scale, and state associations help align strategy across entire states. When those pieces work together, impact multiplies. And that's how we build a food secure nation.